With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
You have to believe that you can do something that nobody else has done. And somehow that concept has to become reality.
Somebody's got to make a play to stop this draft. That last run, in fact, again, they push the pile through the first. And the pass is picked off. It's picked off by David Harris, who gets away from Brady. What a turn of events. Now being chased down by Trumpeter at the 10-yard line. Suddenly, the Jets defense responds, but it looks like the Patriots were ready to drive it right down the field.
37, Matt Moore.
You're listening to No Fly Zone Radio with Victor Green.
Welcome to the No Fly Zone Radio Show, all the way from across the pond. Here are your hosts, Biff Sweeney and Richard Hindley.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome to No Fly Zone Radio. This is episode number 172. I'm your host, Biz Sweeney, joined here by my draft tech and analyst, a good friend, Rich Tinley. Before we get underway, I have some news for the listeners. We are now part of the Sports Social Network podcast site, so go look us up there. So we are now everywhere. How's it going, Rich? I thought I'd leave that surprise for you.
You got you. I suppose this week we kind of said what last week on the show where kind of what happened. If we had stopped any kind of mistakes on offense, it was a game we won. So it kind of feels like we gave away where we should have won. So things could be better. I think there's a few things we're going to talk about as we go, like a lot of positives as well. Now, to be fair, but yeah, just there's a few things I think. So good was Ferdinand in that wide up, by the way.
Yeah. Jets lost 22. The Jets looked comfortable for the first quarter. Halfway into the second quarter, then things started to get a bit shaky for the Jets. A lot of mistakes on the offensive side of things, with more Zach Wilson than anybody else. The offensive line, I thought they were letting through an awful lot of pressure on Zach, but Zach, Sam Darnold when he was with the Jets, when he was seeing ghosts, he tend to run or take sacks, but like that, Zach Wilson, the minute he felt a bit of pressure, he was legging it. There was an awful lot of mistakes from Zach Wilson. Even the interceptions were bad interceptions. Like, he was throwing the ball away and threw it straight to a safety down the line. Now, I personally thought safety, his knee was out, but look, it is what it is. A lot of mistakes.
The ball that shouldn't have been thrown, to be fair. I questioned it as well. Was he in, was he out? And they didn't really show anything conclusive in the replays either, to be fair. They just announced that, yeah, he was in. But yeah, from the few replays that we did see, there still looked to have been a few question marks about it. I think another thing I'd probably like to bring about is how often he runs to the right. He's very, very predictable in that regard, in terms of like setting up like a defensive game plan for him. That, like, if you kind of cut off that out, shall we say, he becomes even more one-dimensional and that could be bad moving forward. But I suppose, like, while he did make a couple of like bonehead plays and things like that, he made some very nice throws too, and that was kind of the frustrating thing. Like, had he have played a kind of mistake-free game, I think we probably would have won that by 10 points. But he didn't, and he like in terms of like actual production, he increased his production this week over the previous weeks where he was just barely throwing over 100 yards. I think he'd probably closer to 300, if not over 300 yards this weekend than last. So,
So over 300.
yeah, like, so, like, in that regard, those are kind of some positives that he can throw. But then, yeah, for him to be kind of getting that yardage, there obviously must be a bit more risk because he's going to be throwing the ball a lot more. Probably a good thing as well was Conklin. Really, really good this week. Wilson, too. Garrett Wilson at wide receiver. But Conklin's starting to kind of come into his own. You even see CJ getting a snap or two there and getting a few targets as well. Did pretty good. So the tight end group looks to be developing along in the game plan nicely. And yeah, Wilson, like Garrett Wilson, I think he's going to be maybe getting another couple of 100-yard games, hopefully moving forward. That would be huge for him as a rookie. Like, I think, like 700 to 1,000-yard season as a rookie is probably what we're looking at this like stage, which is a really, really good start for a rookie wide receiver in the NFL. I know probably people be looking for over 1,000 yards, and yeah, he's a quality guy that could actually do that. But in terms of like where he is and what we've seen with Breece Hall as well, for like in terms of next year, like we've a lot of really, really good things to build on so far, even after that loss. And I think Quinnen Williams, he's starting to perform like he was where he was supposed to be drafted. He's looking awesome. Like me in particular, like I don't like to kind of crown anybody early, but like I do like a nose tackle, I do like a fullback, and Quinnen Williams is starting to play like a guy that I'm gonna like a lot. Like he could continue. Like he was underwhelming for me for the first couple of years, but like this year, the guy's just exploding. And maybe it's the surrounding talent that's opening up things for him a bit more, but like, yeah, he's been immense, absolutely immense.
Yeah, Rich, what's your thoughts on the John Franklin Myers roughing the passer flag, where the Jets got a pick six pullback for roughing the passer? This is, I think, it's 3 games in a row now he's after the cough for roughing the passer flags.
Well, yeah, I thought it was kind of a little bit harsh, if I'm being honest. Like, now there was a couple of weeks previously where I was looking at some of the pass interfering calls against us, and I was like, "Oh, that's a terrible call." But then when I seen it in the replay, I could see clearly one of the Jets guys was had a hold of the jersey, and like that is a pass interference. But yeah, like I think that call was kind of really, really borderline, to be honest. I wasn't kind of happy with that call. I think between that and the interception that could have been in and out of bounds, I think between those two calls, yeah, I don't think both of them should have went against us, shall we say. I think we should have got the rub of the green on one of those there, and we didn't. Well, look, again, you can't kind of blame Franklin Myers either, really. Like, when he'll look back, he'll feel that he didn't really do a lot wrong. But again, that kind of brings up my thing where, like, if you're going to be giving away a 15-yard penalty for that, you may as well pick the quarterback up and spear him into the ground. Like, make it worth your while, hurt the guy. Because if you're going to be giving them 15-yard penalties away for that, then, like, literally, absolutely explode into him and hit him properly with a tackle. Make the 15 yards worthwhile. Just tough, as I said, to have a touchdown wiped off. Like, that was a great interception. I think the whole sort of play itself, like how the coverage was looking and everything, it was set up perfectly, and we took advantage. And yeah, it was just a ref with an itchy flag hand, I suppose, that cost us. But again, like that was a big difference because I think the Patriots went and scored 3 extra points, so there was technically a 10-point swing there with that. So yeah, like we lost by 5, and then I suppose when you add in some of Zach Wilson's mistakes on top of that, that cost us another couple of points. Like, had we have played a perfect game where the refs were a little bit more in our favour, we could have won that by at least two scores, you know? And that's kind of the sad thing, that we lost by five.
Yeah, like, for me, watching Zach Wilson, he seems to want to... he seems to be wanting the big play every time he drops back. He wants the big play. I just can't understand why he can't pick the, you know, the easy play. Like, for instance, fourth quarter, he had an incomplete throw. I think it was about 15 yards out, or maybe 20 yards out. He'd 5 yards, and the whole D line, the offensive line, just spread it like that, like Moses spread the, you know, the Red Sea. He had plenty of time to make 5 yards run with his feet, and then pick up another 3 downs where he ended up looking for the big play. It's just, he seems to be looking for that big play way too many times, playing hairball, and I think he just needs to, you know, pull his neck back in a bit.
Do you think he was trying to maybe prove something in with his previous 2 weeks with so low of passing yards? And, like, I think he was 110 one week and 124 the other, or something in around that, pretty low. Like, for me, that performance did kind of reek of, like, well, I'm going to show that I can put up yards, you know. And and to be fair, he did put up yards, but he just, and he, like, some of the completions he actually made, when you look back, like, that touchdown pass was a serious pass, like, in terms of accuracy and weight of pass, all of it, like, that's a quality pass. It's just those sort of I suppose the trolls where he's off balance, where he's thrown off his back foot. You know, like, yeah, the different passes to complete, but you still kind of think, when you look at, like, that forced interception in particular, where he overthrew it off his back foot, even at that, that should still be kind of a completion. Like, it, you know, you shouldn't be sort of overshooting your own sort of receiver there. If anything, you could be kind of playing it more of an alley-oop type of pass, the way you might see Mahomes do it, you know. And yeah, I just think when it comes to, like, that, it's just about feeling willing to play a complete game.
Yeah, the other thing is, what's your thoughts on his accuracy? Because this year, I think, for me, his accuracy has taken a step back since he came back from his injury, because there's an awful lot of throws where I'm seeing the receivers are actually ahead of the ball and they have to reach back, where not last week, the week before, Denzel Mims nearly got broke up trying to catch a ball that was behind him. I've seen it again this week where another receiver got pretty smashed because reaching back for a ball that was thrown behind him.
I think kind of his accuracy is suffering when he's not comfortable in the pocket, when he's not set. Like, I mean, when you actually think of what he's probably doing in training, he's going through a routine and maybe a three-step drop or a five-step drop, whatever it may be. So in games, which I don't think he will be too often because of, like, the protection around them, then, yeah, his accuracy is going to suffer. Like, throwing on the run, your accuracy is going to suffer. All of those type of things. And then, yeah, backwards, again, your accuracy is going to suffer. So, like, yeah, it's a tough call. Like, because, of course, obviously, we're going to be looking at the quarterback and we're going to be judging him what he's playing like, and is he going to be the guy, is he not the guy, all of that type of stuff. But, again, the reality is, like, Aaron Rodgers with us at the moment, with that O-line and run game and, like, how things are, would probably struggle to look really, really good too. It's just, yeah, nothing seems kind of set where you can really, really judge the guy yet. Like, yeah, we have more weapons, but they're kind of coming in and out. Breece Hall is a huge loss to the offense, because Breece Hall is actually, like, the real deal. Like, we don't really have to wait around to see, can he play in the NFL? We've already seen what he can do, and to be kind of losing that for the rest of the year is a huge loss, and it'll be a massive advantage when we get back together next year and he's fully fit and we're entering next season with kind of more realistic sort of playoff aspirations in terms of giving it a good run going far. But yeah, I think, you know, like looking at it moving forward, that kind of O-line protection has to be kind of the number one requirement of improvement, like moving forward. You look at the defense, they're starting to come and gel together. Like even Joyner, I know he's not maybe the ideal guy back there, but he's shown his value. You know, he can be upgraded for sure, but like he's not really a major liability there because he will take in a few sixes or pick sixes and interceptions, pass breakups. He does all those things while making a couple of mistakes. So yeah, like defense side of the ball looks really, really good so far, but just offense, I think getting that protection down moving forward has to be what we need, you know, to concentrate on still.
It's not even the protection on the passing end of the game. It's like creating holes for the running backs as well, because there was basically no holes there the last couple of weeks. And like Breece Hall, before he went down, he was finding his own. He was basically running on the outside. And they're going to have to find some way to protect the quarterback and create holes for the running backs. James Robinson, when he came in, I seen a few snaps where he ran the ball and he looked okay. But then I looked at him and he popped off the screen to me was his pass protection. He reminded me of Bilal Powell. If you can have a running back that can protect a quarterback in pass protection, that's good to have. Really good to have. So yeah, I was impressed with that. There's some things I can't get my head around when it comes to the offense. The offensive line should be doing better than what they're doing, to be honest.
But it's kind of makeshift too, Ian. Do you know what I mean? Like, and in a way, in some games, they're probably playing better than we expect. Like, when you look at what's there.
Do you think Zach is actually causing a bit of harm when he's legging out, as you said, running to the right an awful lot? He's not stepping up in the pocket.
I think I noticed that as well there during the week, Ian, that when he throws like that kind of hurry up offense where he gets rid of a pass within 2.5 seconds, he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, I mean, as in top five in the NFL. And then when he's got more time, he's kind of one of the most inaccurate. So, like, I think the kind of the crux of the post was about actually the play calling moving forward, that we introduce more of those quick passes for him, you know, and maybe where they're less risky. But again, that forces wide receivers to get open really quick. And then, yeah, probably to bring you on to my next sort of thought about the game the weekend was the use of Elijah Moore. I think he had 10 snaps for the entire game. I don't think he was targeted. So, yeah, like I think maybe he's got a bit of a road back to being a part of the offense. What's your thoughts on that, Ian?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're muted there.
Sorry about that. Zoom's decided to do his own thing. Honestly, I don't know what's going on with Moore. Like, the press are asking him questions, and he's on camera scratching his head, basically, why he's not getting the ball. And like that, I said it the last few weeks, he's too small to be on the outside against bigger cornerbacks. You need to play him in the slot. You need to use him properly, and I don't think the Jets are using him properly. So I have a concern over that. I said last week they were going to use him in the slot a bit more. Didn't happen. I don't know, to be honest. Like even when it came to the likes of Uzama, they're after taking their time breaking him into the the team as well. And like, he's after having a big play there at the weekend in Florida. I don't know. I'm scratching my head when it comes to more. What's the story with him? What's going on? Why isn't Zach targeting him? Why aren't they putting him in the right place to succeed?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing, really, at this stage of the season, is that when you are kind of running on bare bones as well, like, you kind of do need your players put in the best position to succeed, because, yeah, it's just maybe that one play on a third down completion that can be the difference in the game. And, like, look, I feel for Elijah Moore in terms of, like, missing out on targets and stuff like that. And maybe he sees that as him having, like, no impact on the team or whatnot. But, like, for them 10 snaps he was on, maybe he was an integral part of getting Garrett Wilson a bit more open so he could have a 100-yard game. Like, I think, you know, like, it's stats are kind of the be-all and end-all for a lot of people and players, and I get it. But there's a lot more to playing wide receiver than just catching the ball. If you're taking two defenders away, or, you know what I mean? Like, if you're occupying somebody that then opens up space for somebody else, then you're an integral part of that play and you are contributing just like you expect, I suppose, the O-linemen to block when they kind of need to block. It's the same thing. Like, they might not show up on the stat sheet as being an integral part of a big 70-yard completion or a touchdown or whatever. But, yeah, without them and their protection, it doesn't happen. So I think, yeah, maybe, like, Elijah Moore needs to maybe cut himself a little bit more slack and relax a bit, and maybe ask those type of questions to his coaches, to the quarterback, and, you know, see what they can do in terms of getting together to bring him back into being an integral part of the offense. Because for the offense to be successful, he kind of does have to be integral, and he has the talent to be, like, open and, you know, like, making yards after the catch and scoring fussies. He's the potential to be great on this offense. I think Davis as well, like, you look at the trio, Wilson, him and Davis, like, you know, like, while it might not be like wall beaters, the potential to have a really exciting kind of offense is there. Like, they all kind of tick different boxes. They're all different type of wide receivers. As a trio, like, they complement each other very, very well. And, yeah, if we can get Zach protected, I kind of feel like that all three of them are capable of getting open quite a lot, along with our tight ends, along with our running backs. So, yeah, like, I think the pass game can improve dramatically with a little bit more protection, and maybe the play calling been a bit more, like, up-tempo and, you know, get passes out quicker.
Yeah, here's another thing. With Corey Davis out the last couple of weeks, Mims has got more snaps. And last week, I thought he'd done well. He started blocking well the last 2 weeks. He had a big catch with, you know, extra yardage. So, yeah, I think it looks like it's a good thing for Mims that Davis is out so he can get the extra snaps. And a little bit more experience and more, you know, comfortable in the system. So I'm happy to see him because he's a guy that we picked in the second round, and, you know, a guy with a lot of talent.
Yeah, look, he's got a lot of physical traits there that, like, and, you know, some of them are on display the weekend there, and, you know, we kind of forget, like, that some people, it just takes a little bit longer for it to be grasped, like a playbook, or, you know, what it takes to be a success and to get open in the NFL, or to, like, cover somebody in the NFL from a cornerback's perspective. Like, yeah, there's a lot of guys coming in and playing to a high level from day one, particularly at wide receiver, and when that doesn't happen for somebody, they're automatically seen as a bust. But yeah, like, he does look like he has the potential to, like, contribute in the offense, like, as a number four guy there on the depth chart, like, with what we have at the minute. Like, he looks like he's a talented guy to have there as a number four, you know. And yeah, that's kind of what you want, is him to be a little bit ahead of Berrios, to be a bit more of a gadget guy, special team guy, and not be that sort of target per se, except for maybe screens and whatnot, you know. So yeah, like, the more Mims develops over the season, the better, I think. He's a guy that's kind of coming close to the end of his rookie contract as well. There won't be like a 5th-year option because he was a second round guy. So in terms of what he might cost to bring back, he could be very cost effective like that. You could maybe get him back on a 4-year deal at maybe 4 to 8 million a year, and then over those 4 years he develops into a superstar. Like, and you have somebody like really, really cheap on your roster that's playing well above what you're paying them, So yeah, like I guess the verdict's still not completely out on Mims yet, but what he's done so far since returning, he's looked good.
Yeah, after the season, he'll have another season on the rookie contract. This is only his 3rd year. But like that, Rich, you go back 10 years ago, and any receivers that were coming out in the draft, it was nearly taking them 3 years to click.
Yeah, like we kind of do expect everybody to kind of like come in and perform from day one and label them a bust. But the reality is, there's a few guys out there that like does take a little bit of time for it to like just click. And when it does click, like they have these what are called breakout years. And yeah, I think for Quinnen Williams is probably having that this year. But yeah, like. Mims in future has the possibility to have that like breakout year because there was a lot of talent there when we drafted him. Like that's kind of the reality of it. He, and it wasn't just us that was looking at him that high. There was plenty of other teams that would have took him too. So yeah, I think fair play to him. He's keeping his head down and walking, and he's kind of getting back into the coach's favor. He's been given a few opportunities, and he looks to be taking it. So like, hope it keeps going like that for him.
Just before I move on, just a quick message for Matt. Sam Darnold's not coming back to the New York Jets, so I think you better get over yourself. Moving on.
No,
The trades, right. The Jets brought in James Robinson, running back. They needed a bit of cover. He is solid. He doesn't have the breakaway speed that Breece had, but yeah, he's decent enough. The other thing is, the Jets also sent the Broncos Jacob Martin, defensive end, and they received a 4th-round pick, and the Jets also sent a 5th-round pick for 2024. Now, the thing is, for me, when the Jets signed Jacob Martin, I didn't think he suited the defense. For me, he was an outside linebacker for a 3-4 defense. That's what I seen. I just didn't see him being a 4-3 defensive end. So getting something back for a guy like that, it's decent. The other thing is, JJ is due back this weekend.
Yeah, like I suppose for me, like the curious thing for me was how quickly we signed him in free agency, if you get me. Like he looked like he was one of our top targets because he kind of signed so early, and we were like, who is this guy? We went looking and was like, all right, he had 5 sacks for Houston and whatnot, and he did kind of look more of a depth guy. And to be fair, like we haven't got a lot of depth there. I think Huff is playing very well, even though he's not always showing up in the stat sheet. Quinnen Williams, as I said, like having a really, really good season, like a breakout year. You've got Jermaine Johnson, as you said, coming back from injury. I think maybe they're going to like give him a few more snaps. So, like, obviously, after the injury's tested and whatnot, but I think from here on out, when he does prove that he's fit enough, I think he's probably going to get a bit more of an opportunity to show what he can do. And then Lawson as well, like, seems to be coming along nicely. But I think he could be a bit more effective if I'm being honest. But yeah, like he's shown what he can do. And again, if it comes to a case where you kind of don't feel that he's actually having a breakout season, but he's the type of player in future that really could. And you could be looking at 15 plus sacks a year from a guy like him in next year. That's kind of what you're aiming for. If you got Johnson starting the four on the other side, Quinnen coming up the middle, Franklin Myers, or the other guy that we got, I've been impressed with as well on the D line, is the guy that used to play for New Orleans, is it Rankins? Is that his name? I think he's shown he's plays a very, very good role in the offense there, or the defense, in terms of shutting down the run game. He seems to be really stout against that, and he seems to be showing up in terms of pressures. I've seen him getting close to the quarterback if he hasn't got him. He's been in and around the sort of the area where he's making quarterbacks uncomfortable at the very least. So to see that coming from another guy like that, kind of a little bit unexpected. Thomas as well, again, is probably playing a little bit above what we thought he could bring, given his history. We seem to be rotating very well too, keeping the guys fresh. And yeah, it kind of culminated against probably one of the weaker quarterbacks, in fairness, that we did face this year, and the Patriots, Guy Jones. But we'd six sacks, and it felt like we had a lot more pressures there too. And we looked like we had a really, really effective pass rush, and it's kind of what you need to be successful in this league. So yeah, I think Martin, although he did get a sack against the Patriots too, to be fair to him, and maybe that's what, maybe Denver saw as a replacement for Chubb. But yeah, I think it probably a good move in terms of moving up to the fourth round and swapping those picks, while it might not look a lot, it's kind of probably all right for a guy that was potentially surplus to requirements here.
Okay, let's move on to our next game. I think it's the toughest game we have so far this season, and it's the Bills in MetLife Stadium. Personally, they're the best team in the NFL at the moment. They're just stocked everywhere. There's a few injuries, but I can't see us getting that now, this game at all. I think they're just too powerful at the minute.
Would there be a chance, Ian, that they kind of underestimate us? As in that they kind of take their eye off the ball this week, as in this kind of Jets team, I'm missing a lot of guys, we can kind of look past them. If that were to happen, because I do think, well, the Jets haven't been playing fantastically well as a team. I still do think they have that determination and fight to put it up to Buffalo this week, despite all the things we've been talking about. So, I wouldn't be completely hopeless. And again, it's a divisional game. We were probably favourites to beat the Patriots this week, and divisional game shows you just never know. I think probably my concern is the fact that it's a home game again, and if things do go kind of wrong early, will the fans stick with the team? Because again, I do think when it comes to the third and fourth quarter, the Jets can come back and play and keep going to the final whistle and put that effort in. And, even a close loss to Buffalo might not be the worst place for us to be. Obviously you kind of want to be winning those games. And yeah, if we got maybe a 31-28 defeat to Buffalo and show that we can compete with them and that, that's progress to me. So yeah, be tough, but yeah, I think we can kind of compete with them. And how far that competition probably gets with us in terms of victory, yeah, we might come up a little bit short, but you just never know. Any given Sunday.
I get you. For me, the defense, I'm not worried about the defense at all. It's the offense I'm worried about. I just don't think they're on the same mindset on offense. They just don't seem to be clicking between quarterback, offensive line, and the receivers. I can't see the Jets doing anything at all in this game. I think it could be two or three score loss. Defense, yeah, I think the defense are going to do their best, but just think the offense are going to. I think the offense again, they're just going to carry on from what they've done in the second half against the Patriots. I just don't see it.
But also take you that the Jets are going in there kind of with nothing to lose. By that I mean, if you're the defense of the Jets there, and you've Buffalo coming to town after playing so well against the Patriots, you must be really, really licking your chops at the potential competition to show how good they are as a unit against a really, really good Buffalo offense. And then similarly, I suppose, when you look at the offense, they've lost quite a lot of guys. Again, Corey Davis was missing. You've got Moore not really been involved. You kind of feel, in a way, the pressure might be off them. Like as in that not a lot of people will expect them to do much against this Buffalo defense, and with the pressure off and with a combination of a few nice and new play calls that are effective, it could keep us like competitive. And yeah, again, that's the thing, like those divisional games sometimes form does go out the window, and we are due a victory against Buffalo, so I'm not like completely discounting it.
We were due a victory against the Pats. 13 games now,
yeah, like,
you know, in a row.
Yeah, like 6-2 would have been fantastic, but like 5-3 is not the end of the world either. And
no,
you know, neither is 5-4. But like, yeah, obviously, I think 6-3 was probably my thought process and where I'd like to be. As in, we beat the Patriots last week, be 6-2, and then that this kind of Bills game. You wouldn't mind losing it because you have a break to kind of recover after it, and you're still 6-3. But now, yeah, there's probably a little bit more pressure on this game this weekend and pressure on the Jets to perform. Because again, like, you know, even if you don't beat Buffalo, if you show you can compete with Buffalo in a close game, the Jets again become a bit more relevant because Buffalo's blown out a lot of teams, you know?
Yeah. The other thing is, when it comes to the Jets, I had the Jets doing the double over New England this year. And I still think they should have done the double because they should have beat New England last week. But they ended up beating themselves. But I also said that the Bills were going to do the double over us this year. I just think they're too strong. And trying not to be negative, but after what I've seen in the second half last week and going into the Bills this week, it wouldn't have bothered me as much if we were going against the likes of the Jaguars or something like that. But we're going straight into the Bills this week, so I think it's going to be tough. The biggest thing is Zach Wilson needs to, you know, stop playing hairball and play with a bit of cop on.
I think as well, Ian, but in terms of like it being the bye week, it's probably the perfect game to kind of like go into the bye week, because I think this Buffalo Bills game is going to show this team who they are, where they can go, what they need to do moving forward. So I think from that perspective, it'll be a really, really good test for the Jets. And then they have kind of that bye week to maybe fix a few things or, you know, build on the good.
Yeah. Anyway, we're running out of time, so for me, my prediction is a loss.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be a loss too. I'll go 31-28 to Buffalo. I think we'll be close and competitive, but yeah, just probably come up a little bit short this week.
I'm going to go with a 2-touchdown loss. Okay, anyway. Running out of time, so it's a slog for me.
And slog for me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.